Kia ora, whānau. Oh, geez, that sunshine is coming in. Beautiful winter's day. This episode of the Staggerel podcast, we're joined by Harry Sanders, a.k.a. Phil's Marathon. July 1st, Harry is going to be running 100 kilometres along Pihar Beach. You can join in. Just flick him a message there on Instagram. Like always, links are in the show notes. And the reason why is Harry is doing another fundraiser for the Back to School Project. That's Back number 2 School Project NZ on Instagram. Again, that'll be in the show notes. Back to School Project helps to get those in need with the necessary things they need for attending primary school. So, massive cause. I think he said he raised $25,000 last year, which is pretty awesome. He's done crazy things like running 100 Ks per year he's been alive when he was 23. Pretty nuts. And 7 marathons in 7 days. You beauty. Check him out, as I said, at Phil's Marathon. Just click that link there in the show notes. Of course, the show is brought to you by Kane's Deer Velvet. Our body knows how to heal, but as we age, it can sometimes struggle to keep up and injuries, aches and pains come knocking. I've been pretty aware of that of late compared to Harry, as we just spoke about with his crazy missions, not really stretching, not really doing any strength and conditioning, although they might be catching up with him, he was saying. Kane's Deer Velvet is packed full of amazing nutrients that the body uses in maintaining the immune system, bones, joints, circulation, and general well-being. Simply replenish the nutrients, healing happens, and you are left to get on with living your life to the full, getting out there, doing those things you want to do. Going hunting, going running, cycling, swimming, whatever it is. Find out more at www.canesdeervelvet.com and use the code STAGGERAL252 for a 20% introductory discount. One more week left, people. So basically, if you're listening to this as it's come out, slap the link, drinkelement.com/staggerAL. You can get yourself either a free sample, just pay for the shipping, or I think you might want to go whole hog and get yourself a supply, because 21st of July is the last day for international shipping. If you're in the States or Canada, fill your boots. And of course, drink Arepa. We speak about Arepa, the mindful morning that's coming up on the 24th of June. That Drink Element was 21st of June as well. Sorry. So, yeah. Anyway, back to Arepa. Yeah, Mindful Morning. I think they're sold out, but worthwhile checking out if there are tickets left to that second session. Cooper Chapman, Nigel Beach. Whew, I feel super stoked we managed to get a ticket. It's going to be a hell of a morning. The Brain Chat as well, if you're up there in Auckland, check that out. And if you'd like to order off their website, Staggerel will get you 20% off. The world's smartest brain food, 100% natural, caffeine-free, effects you can feel. It's good stuff, people. You can have it in the evenings, have a beautiful sleep as well, L-theanine, sparkling and light has a little bit more of that. So that's probably the best one for the evening, but they're both good. They're both real good. They've got the shots as well, and the powder, the pills, nootropic pills. Oh, it's good stuff. Check it out. Links in the show notes. Right. Let's get into this. What episode are we up to? 292 of the Staggerel.
I think it's all good.
Nice. Harrison.
Rooster's no good.
No good.
Come through. I mean, yeah. They've got the players there. It's just systems, I think. But yeah.
Well, as I was thinking on the way down, like we're missing the Fruity Fittler, the Cooper Cronk. We've got the centers, we've got the wings, and it's like we've got the forwards. Just need the link.
Yeah. And like playing around with all those like six and sevens probably don't help. Joey's like trying to do everything, and I don't know.
Like three different fullbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teddy was good, but yeah.
Tedesco. Yeah. Whereas I did, because I had a free night last night, but Roosters was on too late. Friday night, I had a free night.
Yeah.
And dabbled with the Blues at first, jumped over to the first half of the Warriors, and that was hard going.
Yeah.
Very, very hard going. Jumped back to the Blues, and they were crushing it. And it was like, all right, go back to the Warriors. What a second half.
Yeah. I only caught like the last 20. I was at like a school function night thing, and then I was streaming it on my phone, like trying to look within. But I caught like that SJ try, and yeah, that was cool.
Oh, you got the icing on the cake then.
Yeah, I came like when it all was happening, I guess. But yeah,
did you see him break his nose?
Yeah, that's like pretty much when I turned it on, was like right then, and then he went off, and I'm like, he's done, he's going to be out for like lucky to have the bye next week. But and then he just comes back on and plucks it from the air.
Yeah, I've broken my nose plenty of times.
I've
highlighted. And yeah, that did not look pleasant. But it's one of those ones where, like, I've done it flat on your face, and it just stings, and it's all okay. But when it's plastered across you, he did the right thing. I saw him. He grabbed the towel and gave it, because it's already sore and it's numb, and so you might as well just grit your teeth and straighten it up a little.
Do it then and there, right?
Because if you leave it and you go into hospital, then they jab a whole bunch of stuff up your nose and they try to wrench it back across your face, and then you have it, another 2 weeks of a sore nose. So
yeah,
you might as well do it then. Have you ever broken your nose, Harry?
I've had like blood noses and stuff when I used to do boxing, but I haven't broken it.
How long did you do that for?
Boxing?
Yeah.
3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 years. And then, three and a half. Yeah. Still like, I'll do training and stuff, but I would never fight again.
How did you get into that?
Through a mate, or like a family friend, Albie Robeck is his name. He's like, oh, you want to do a fight in 8 weeks or something? And I was like, no. And then anyway, just like transitioned and yeah, did the fight and lost like 24 kilos or something in the first camp in like 2 months. It was, yeah, ridiculous. I had a lot to lose, but like it was still crazy. And then yeah, that was that.
What was the fight for?
It was like a charity fight night, the first one I did. It was just like a corporate fight night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even, I was like 19. So it was more just like, yeah. Yeah. 2017, that was.
2017, oh yeah. So when, what's his name? Shane Cameron and David Tua fought, I was working at the Cook in Dunedin. And we had the garden bar set up with a big bouncy boxing in there. And all the security guards sort of did boxing. And I was the smallest of the security guards then, probably about 80, 85 kgs. But our cleaner, who was probably only 70 kgs, he actually did boxing. But I had a bit of reach and size on him. And so I fought him. And I remember having complete tunnel vision. And just we had bouncy boxing gloves. So it was just kind of like jab, jab, and protect yourself type of stuff. And then when was that? That must have been 2013.
Yes.
Varsity Rugby Club had a fundraiser, and I did that. And by that stage, we did a good stint of training there at City Boxing.
Yeah.
That was when it was in the middle of town. And yeah, actually did all right and saw what was going on and heard my corner. So that was quite handy.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So that was, you did like a proper fight.
Oh, I wouldn't call it proper.
Yeah.
It was proper.
You're in the ring.
Yeah. We were probably there for six weeks at City Boxing.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Is that the one in like Mount Ed? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's now in Kingsland. So, Nico Walters was training at the time. So he's doing a bit of boxing there. And Machu and not Eli. Oh, yeah, no, he'd be there. He had all the 660 boys would be showing up.
Oh, that's cool.
I have a sneaking suspicion, and I could be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong, but I think Hangman was training kickboxing then at the time. Whoever it was that was training kickboxing, I was just watching them being like, that is mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you watch someone like that so in tune with everything doing it, it's like, it makes you feel like crap. It's like,
yeah. Well, especially leading into the bout, Nico jumped in with us, and because he was just, years of training boxing, he just schooled us up. And there was a couple of other guys that were boxers who jumped in and did some sparring with us and just, broke my nose a couple of times doing that. That was nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the goods, eh? Or getting cussed and, yeah. It's a hard sport. Respect anyone that does it.
Yeah. And so What else were you doing at the time? Were you doing teacher training then?
This when I was doing boxing.
Yeah.
I was a builder at the time, and yeah, I was building at the time, and then I went into like the transition from building to going to uni and doing teachers college, and then I was still doing it on like my first maybe 2 months of teaching, and then I started like my running journey and all this, and there was just way too much going on. Like needed to pick like at least two of the things out of the four or whatever I was doing. It was just overloaded, but yeah, trying to be young of the world.
Can do everything. Can do everything. Eh? Yeah. So how did you end up building first?
So I started building straight after high school.
You
Well,
completed it.
I did boat building actually straight after high school for probably 6 months, and during that period I was like very vulnerable. I had heaps of shit going on outside of like work life, say, or school life, that had happened and built up over time, and then went into the boat building just because it was like a rush thing. My cousin did boat building and then went into like boat building. He did like an engineering thing, on, and he's an engineer on super yachts now, but he's like someone I look up to, and I was like, I want to be like him and have lots of money. And so I didn't pick it for the right reasons. I just went straight into the boat building, hated it, kind of got like not bullied, but I was like just vulnerable at the time anyway. And then decided that wasn't for me, went into building, which was not really for me either. And then yeah, went on to something that I actually wanted to do.
So you completed high school and got
Yep,
enough to get into uni and stuff like
finished all my years at high school. I was just got through the last one. I was just like that little shit who thought he was the man in year 13. Well, yeah, me and my mates are like that group, I guess, and we've all come through growing up. I live with like my best mate who I've been mates with since year four now. We got a place, started there together, but yeah, so we've all grown up, but that was our group philosophy or group, like what we were like in school. But yeah,
What was the vibe on that? Just not showing up and that sort of stuff.
for school,
Yeah.
yeah, oh, just wagging and doing dumb stuff, just like into all the stuff that you do when you're 16 and 17, like going to three parties every weekend and just worrying about when the next one is. And we all played sport, top sports teams at the school. Like I had mates in the first 15, and I was in first 11 football. Did that for 2.5 years. I was in first 11, and then an injury occurred, and I guess that's when like things kind of went downhill for me. But yeah,
You didn't manage to link up with the club or anything like that after.
I played club during my years as well, and I tore my ACL and meniscus in year 13 of high school, and that was like the year that, I mean, you probably just say you did rugby and stuff in year 13.
I was football at high school. Yeah, I
Oh,
can.
football, yeah.
Yeah.
So even when you're like, this is my year, like, and we started the year off with a hiss and roar, to be fair. We won this like North Island comp pre-season tournament. We versus St John's Hamilton in the final and beat them. It was in Rotorua, at the International Stadium. And then obviously the injury occurred, and yeah, I didn't really pick up football again after that. I haven't played since, really. I got into the boxing and then running, so yeah.
Were you playing youth league and stuff?
For football,
Yeah.
I did reps young, and then nah, not in year 13.
Yeah. No, it's a mess up where you guys are, right? It's like Auckland City, Western United, and
Is it northern region? Yeah,
yeah.
there's so many different like districts that they divide it into, but yeah.
No, chaos, chaos. So that was like one of the things driving down today. I was like, oh, what am I going to talk to Harry about? And that seems to be what you've sort of come back to is a sense of community, and you're involved with a couple of communities. What's the sort of Essex Run Club been like?
The Essex Run Club. So the Essex thing came like last year. They like just hit me up on Instagram about like what I'm doing and what my visions are and what I want to do, obviously going forward. And then it was like a sponsorship kind of thing, and that was cool. They kind of do a run club every week. I'm not like the best at going to that. It's in the city, so you've lived in Auckland before, right?
Yep.
So I live in West Auckland, which is like quite far away. My work's all out west, and I start work at 7:30, and the run club's at like 6 in the middle of town. So like getting there, going back, like showering, then getting to work on time. It's like, yeah. And I guess like what I'm trying to do is a little bit different than like a run club thing each week. Like I prefer to go for a big event and then hopefully get community coming through that. which I'm trying to do in 4 weeks, which I'm shitting myself about. But yeah, so yeah, that's like more my community. And the ASICS thing is great. Like they help out in ways they can. They like with the floods at the start of the year. You had heard about that in Muriwai and Piha. They donated like a couple hundred pairs of socks and stuff needed for the kids, and like we gave that through the charity that I do stuff with. We handed them out to the kids and put them in gift packs and stuff like that. So that's like really the ASIC sponsorship. Like, yeah, it's great. I could be kitted out to me, but I don't really, it's not about me. I don't really care about me having stuff. I want to like provide for other people. If I gave someone a pair of running shoes, like it might start their journey or something. I couldn't really care less what I'm wearing. It's, yeah, more to help other people, I guess. That's my long run for it. But yeah.
Yeah, nice. And so, you said you were boxing, you were going to uni, you're running. How did running first kick in? And what was the sort of like, sort of preempting with that ACL? Like, how did you sort of start feeling about that?
You mean like the events that occurred after the ACL kind of thing?
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah, ACL,
Yeah.
boxing, then going, I'm going to start running. Like, what did that even look like?
So the running journey and stuff like started, I guess, from I wanted to like me and my cousin, he passed away in 2015. We're like best mates. It's all like kind of he's like the main motivation when it's in dark times, like going through him, I guess, using him as like a motivator. But we did a half marathon in 2013, I think it was the Auckland half, and I still don't really like the running as such. I like the mental game. Like I don't care about the Strava stats and stuff. It's like more about what you like get from it. And you'll know what I'm talking about, like with whatever things you do, it might be hunting or whatever. And everyone has their own like bucket filler. But yeah, so that's we did the half marathon and we were like moaning about it the whole time, like this sucks and like we're never gonna do one again. And that like kind of drew motivation for me. I like, wanted to do a full eventually and whatnot. And anyway, 2 years after that half, he passed away. And my nana passed away a month before him. And this was like going into Christmas of 2015, which was the same year I did my ACL and finishing high school and starting a new job and just lots of stuff going on. So he was like, there was always that kind of thing in the back of my mind, like I want to do something for them and their passings. And then I went into the lockdown like everyone did, and everyone all of a sudden became a runner. In 2020, like the streets were just packed. But I like we started planning up an idea in that lockdown, and I wanted to do 100 kilometers for every year that I was like alive on Earth or whatever. That was like my thing about it. So I did 2,300 kilometers in the space of a year, which was like 44 kilometers a week. And I'd never run more than like 20 Ks in a week. So like putting up double that each week was like, what am I doing? And I remember everyone just laughing because like you're not gonna finish that. Anyhow, fast track like 12 months, and obviously I've been running for 12 months now quite consistently. I was going to finish the 2300, which was cool, and then when I planned probably 2 months, it was in about October of 2021, I made a plan. I was going to run 7 marathons in 7 days, and then 2 months later I did that. And then that's got us to what? Last year I had kind of like an off year. I think just lots of things overwhelming and maybe like two massive events achieving it. Like I don't know, it kind of you plummeted heaps. Well, I plummeted heaps, and kind of lost purpose. I was like, am I really just putting all my identity through running and yada yada yada?
How
Anyhow,
old are you now, Harrison?
so I'm 25.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so still a young buck.
No,
Yeah.
I could just that thought pattern, I can identify with that one at a similar age.
Yeah,
Yeah, like
like
what's my bloody identity?
what am I trying to actually do or achieve? And not like putting all your, I know it's in heaps of books and stuff, but not putting all your like focus into one thing. It's not like healthy for anything. No matter what it is, like if you put all your soul thing into one thing and that becomes your identity, then it's probably not going to be good if that gets taken away. But anyhow, last year I kind of found like momentum again near the end of the year and like consistent training, and that's like with S&C and running and everything. And then I'm doing 100 Ks on PR in 4 weeks, so been building up to that.
Nice, man. So massive. What'd you say? 2,300 k's in a year.
Yeah, 2,300.
Which is interesting when you say that that's 44 a month, right?
44.23 a week it was, I think.
A week. Okay, yeah. That's starting to push it up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So going from nothing, how did that go? Like
it was cooked. Like, yeah. Being honest, because I was boxing, like hard out boxing training at the time. So I'd have like 5 boxing sessions a week, and then was trying to run 44 k's a week as well, and then eventually it just got too much and I had to choose one. Obviously I chose the running. But yeah, so I didn't get too many injuries though, to be fair, like shin splints, which is all good. Nothing really came from it, niggly knee and whatnot, but I mean, you can get that from waking up too fast in the morning. Like, it wasn't, yeah, massive injuries, which was good.
Now that is good. Yeah, yeah. So now you said you're working with SNC. What's that sort of balancing out?
So I didn't start training with him till probably last year when I had like my off-season year. I was like, what do I need to change up to? And it was really to switch things up because I was getting a bit sick of running, to be fair. And I started working with a dude called Grant Herzl, or Sting Fitness, he is on Instagram. He's worked with like Joe Parker, and he does heaps of stuff for kids, which is cool. That's like his main thing. He tries to help community, which is kind of same like vision, I guess, that I have, which is cool. And his son's actually in my class. But anyway, so it's like a good. But yeah, so he does lots of just like overall strength, I guess, just strengthening everything. Core is like your foundation. That's his main like thing, so a lot of core stuff just to keep everything balanced. We don't do as much leg stuff now, besides like stabilizing exercises, because I guess like running lots is pretty good for your legs anyway. But yeah, that's mainly that, and just to keep everything stable, because if you do too much running and then you don't have like the foundation, something's going to give. But yeah.
No, that was definitely the end of last month. I was tracking you on Strava last month, and what did you do, like 220?
I had an off month. I did like 320 the month before. I was like, I wish we did this challenge then, because I would have been like, yeah.
You're smashing all you guys. and it was exactly like you're saying about the core. It popped my hip, and I don't know exactly what I did. But then I was like, shit, I need to start doing some stretching. And just again, right through that middle was just in knots. And yeah, a couple of weeks on now, I'm like, oh, that feels much better. Just like some consistent stretching, because I was doing none of it. So I've only got myself to blame.
Stretching's a like key component. I'm shocking with stretching. But my whole 2,300K thing, I never stretched.
Wow.
I don't warm up. Like, I still don't really warm up, but I stretch now. Like, still inconsistent, but more than what I was doing. But yeah, people have been like, that's shocking. But yeah,
there you go, Harrison, 10 years on, make sure you're stretching, brother.
If I'm 35, I don't think I'll be too happy otherwise.
Yeah, no. Oh yeah, well, but then you might have a 12-year base, unlike me. I've only got a, I don't know, maybe 1 year base of running training. Plenty of training age, but you're just not in running. It's a different thing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So how do you go mentally, I'm gonna do these things without really any it's most, like I said, it's most about the mental side of things and what you can sort of leverage out of the event, right?
Do you want to expand on that? Sorry.
So you're fundraising, and like you said, you're doing it for your cousin and to a certain extent your grandma. Like, how do you not go, right, I'm going to enter Tauwera or Taupo or whatever? How do you go, like, I'm going to create this, I'm going to do it, I'm going to train it, and I'm going to bring people along for it? And
right, I get
it. It's not actually about running. Running's just the vehicle. It's about my mental state, my sense of achievement, and we can leverage this event to raise funds for something meaningful and make a difference, you know, in your little community.
Yeah. Right. I get what you mean now. I was like, I just like, the reason I would rather like create my own event or whatever is like, firstly, you get people out there who it's probably more a comfortable environment. Cause like people, if they're too scared to go run in the street, they're not going to go run an event kind of thing. But people might come walk a couple laps. Like, for instance, when I did the 7 marathons in 7 days, there were like, I think it was 22 people ran their furthest ever run, which was pretty cool. Like, they all, like my mate, he hadn't run more than like 8Ks and he ran a half marathon completely stuffed after, but he still did it. And that kind of thing was like the biggest win for me. It wasn't raising like 20 grand or 30 grand or whatever it was, but that just comes with it, I guess. And like for this one I'm doing now, in a couple of weeks, it's kind of like a short loop so people could come join in and maybe walk one lap and they might get something out of it. And then obviously the byproduct of that is people donate money. The charity I do it for is called Back to School Project, and they raise money for kids in West Auckland, and they like source them a backpack with like stationery and stuff in it that they can use for the edu it's like for underprivileged kids pretty much in West Auckland. But the packs cost $80, I think, to source for one kid. So the way I look at it, even if I only raise $80, I've still helped one kid before that would have got help anyway. So yeah.
And how did that charity come about in your partnership with him?
So they have a kid at our school. I didn't really know about them though, to be fair. And we kind of just talked, and they explained what they were doing, and I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. And they're quite small, which is like rather help someone who maybe doesn't get as much help in regards to like those massive charities, and help bring them up, hopefully. That'd be cool. So yeah, we just had a conversation and it was kind of, yeah, just fell into line. I did the marathon event for them and then this will be my second one. But yeah.
And so, how do people access that at the moment, or is it just kind of like they are finding, what's their pathway to give support?
The charity, or how
Yeah,
do people get support?
people in the charity, what, how do they link
So
up?
there's a give a little link in my bio or whatever, and it's just, yeah, you just click onto that and donate if you want to.
Sorry,
Otherwise,
no, in terms of the charity's purpose, how do they sort of link up with those in need?
oh, okay, I get what you mean. So they coordinate with all the schools in the district, so within West Auckland, and they host like evenings where teachers can come along. They'll give the teachers like stuff. Like we had one the other week at Starbucks, and they like put it on. The people paid for it themselves to get the teachers to come, and then they explain what they do and what they can give. And you have to like fill in children who need the support or you might think need the support. Obviously that's all in like school system confidential stuff. And then they send that out to the charities, and it's like an updated list if new kids join and whatnot. That's what you mean, eh? Yeah, cool. And then yeah, they go from there. So obviously different schools would have different amounts of kids. It's just the hard thing is for them, and like they haven't said it, but I can imagine would be like realizing when to say no, because like everyone needs support in different ways, and like you can only give it to so many, I guess, with the amount of funds they currently have. So that would be like the hard part for them, but yeah.
Yeah, growing up, we my primary school had Duffy books. And it was just kind of like blanket for the school, and it was like, well, oh, wow, we had lots of books in our household, but to be given a book, and then but then you'd be at other schools, and you're like, oh, they don't get Duffy books,
Yeah.
and it's like, oh, well, you can probably have mine.
Yeah.
So it's on an individual basis with this, is it?
Yeah, it's like on an individual basis. But yeah, I get what you mean. Like, yeah, it's hard to, yeah, I don't know. Hard to dictate how much who needs what and whatnot. But yeah.
And how long have they been around for? And
About 3 to 4 years, so they're reasonably new, I guess. It's actually an American couple. They moved to New Zealand probably 10 years ago or something. And they're just, yeah, awesome people.
Yeah, and it's just still the two of them running this.
Yeah, there's like a kind of a team that jump on board when need be. Like they have a couple of events throughout the year and each holidays where they like get the kids to come in and they give them out their packs. Like this year it was really cool. They like got to pick their packs and pick what they want in it and whatnot. Which was really cool. Like when I was a kid, obviously I don't want to sound privileged, but like I had all the stuff that I needed. Like I wouldn't even think, oh, I don't need a, like I need to get a book and I need a pencil case, because mum and dad would just have it there for you. But it would actually suck if you didn't have it. Like on the first day of school, you rock up with nothing. Yeah, me and my mates are always sus, so you wouldn't even think of that. But yeah, it's the little things, I guess, that make kids feel more comfortable.
And do they have any sort of data on that their need? Like you say, it's kind of becomes hard about who you say yes and who you say no to, but have they sort of found that this is something that's like not very long period of time, but have they noticed an increasing need and more and more people asking for help?
Yeah, especially in the district that just got hit with the floods. Like, that's quite a, I wouldn't say privileged area, but they're quite comfortable area, like Waimauku and all up those ways. And it's like the families are finding it hard to ask for help, I think, because they've never had to, like, different parts of Auckland, like, say, Ponsonby. Currently, like, a lot of families in Ponsonby, if something happened there, would find it hard to ask for help due to the fact that they've probably never had to ask for help. Like, that's kind of how it is in this area that's been hit in West Auckland. But in regards to what you asked, like, I think the amount of kids they helped last year was like 380 or something, and they're wanting to, like, the need for it is like over 700, so they need to somehow find the funds. And it's just like whether they can find those funds, because you can't just, yeah, they can't just dig into their pocket every time. But yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly, isn't it? And then, like, the flow on effect of, like, in terms of positive, and then the flow on effect of in terms of negative, if they, you know, they don't survive. It's pretty cool that someone's, you know, that's what they want to put their purpose into it. You know, they could be in any type of job and project sort of stuff, but, you know, they've managed to niche out. So they're a charity, or are they a social enterprise, or what are they doing?
Yeah, they're a charity organization. Yeah, charity.
No, that's awesome. And so do you have much to do with what goes on and behind, or are you just doing the good fight and raising funds, man?
Not really. I try to stay out of that part. I've just got so much going on. I'm just like, what can I do to, like, I want to do these events to help you guys, and, like, I want to do one next year as well. But yeah, I mean, I help out on the days when they did the, like, packing with the kids. We had, like, the 300 kids come through, and I was helping hand them out and whatnot. And then I was at the teachers' night, and I'll help support them. But yeah, I'm not really in the behind the scenes stuff. I'll leave that to the pros.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be fascinating. Sort of 10 years on, if you're still out there running events and raising funds, what sort of comes back around from that? Because yes, it does appear like such a small thing. You know, here's a bag and stationery in it. Did you do jackets as well, or
jackets? Sorry,
do you do jackets as well?
So they give them, like, in the pack. They had togs and whatnot, and it's like any essentials that that school doesn't already provide. So some of them get different things. So there were, like, jackets and whatnot in some things, but yeah,
no, it's like I was saying, it just seems like a small thing, but it can be massive difference. So it'd be interesting what comes around in 10 years' time with those things.
That could be the next Rich McCaw, or
The next play Rocket Lab or Zero, yeah. Or Jesus, so many awesome things. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you been along to the Brain Chats?
Yep. The Brothers Brain Chats was Zane.
Yep.
Yeah, I talked to one of them. It was the first one of the year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, they're a cool vibe. Very different than anything else I've ever been to. Like, and you get, like, a whole kind of, it reminds me of, like, when you walk into a boxing gym, like, everyone's stigma, like, you could have gang members, people who have been in jail, CEOs, you could have tradies, teachers, whatever, like, just, but as soon as you walk in that door, like, your label's just removed and you're just there for that same purpose. That's, like, the vibe that it is when you walk into this Brothers Brain Chat, which is cool because everyone's, like, the same and everyone's vulnerable, but everyone's also, like, courageous for going. Yeah. But yeah, no, they're cool.
Yeah, it's buzzy. It must be something in West Auckland, because there's yourself, there's Hendo, and then there's Zane, all West Aucklanders.
Yeah, it must be something in the water, eh?
Are you going along to the Mindful Morning?
No, what's that?
Oh, so I think 2 weekends away, 24th. So they've got Cooper Chapman coming over from Australia, or they looks like he's touring around Europe at the moment with, I think his name's like Fish or something, DJ anyway. He's
oh, Fisher, yeah.
That door in a bloody private jet, it looks outrageous. But yeah, so he's
like the real buzzy, like, yeah, real bald dude, eh? Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's the one. And his wife as well, I think, is a DJ. And then there's one other person. And yeah, Cooper's just sort of on side of stage, like taking footage. And then you're like, wow, that's crazy. But yeah, he's hosting it, I think. And so he's going to do a bit of a session on gratitude. And then Nigel Beach, he's going to be doing some breath work. And then Lulu Lehman's facilitating some yoga. So the ones that Nicole and I signed up for were sold out, I think, in 14 minutes. So how the hell we managed to get a ticket? She was just in bed scrolling, I think, and she was like, well, we should go to this. And I was like, oh, okay, let's go to it, and signed up, and we got it. And then, yeah, then they were sold out. And so they've done a second one, and I'm not sure if that sold out too, but yeah.
Where are they?
They're going to be doing it in, I think, in Kingsland. Might be either at Arepa or nearby. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're coming up. Are you coming up for that?
Yeah, coming up for that. So nice. Yeah, two weeks away. So yes, yeah.
I might put on my thing right now. I forget.
yeah. Check it out. See if there's still tickets available.
24th, yeah. You said, eh?
Yeah, that's the one.
Cool. I'll write it in and I'll look later. Sweet.
And so you said you're going to go bike riding. Like, is that just to do something different?
No. So I've currently, like I said, I haven't injured myself, but yeah, going into, so leading up to this 100K, I did like a 40, I've done like four 30K runs. I did a marathon, then followed up the next weekend by 50K, and then 2 weeks after did a 60K. And I think the body's just like taxed, but my hips kind of stuffed at the moment.
That was on the track, eh, the 60K?
I did the 60 on the track, yeah, more just like for mental friggin' building because it was so boring, but it was more to just try break me. But yeah, it was like 150 laps of the track. But anyhow, so my hips like stuffed at the moment, so I'm just cycling to keep the heart going the last 2 weeks. So yeah, mm-hmm. I've got a cycling bike, which I'm fortunate for, but yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to Simon Cochran talk to Mickey Willardon, and that was what he was sort of saying about how going into Te Arawira, because he's a triathlete, he had lots of cycle time. He'd still get off and run, but he was just like, oh, it just allowed me to do so much more cardio training, being able to go on the bike and then get in the run afterwards. I was like, oh, yeah, that does make sense.
Like, less impactful on your knees and joints and everything, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just get a real sore ass, but that's all right.
Sore ass and lower back, eh? Yeah.
From hunching over.
Have you done cycling, or you've just got a bike?
We used to do, so for my cousin that passed away that I was talking about, he was a cyclist, and I've actually got his cycling bike. It was like, it's stacked out. But so we used to do Taupo Cycle Challenge every year for him, like in a memory kind of thing. I hate cycling, but we did it for him, and I'm kind of like enjoying it now because it's a different form of cardio. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a cyclist, but I've done it a few times, and yeah.
And are you out there attacking the Waitakere's, or are you just cruising around the flats?
I haven't been out there, no, not as of yet. Me and my mate were going to maybe today, otherwise we'll go next week. But yeah, it looks pretty gnarly.
Yeah, is it Pitirangi? Yeah, there's always a group of cyclists having a coffee there, and you're just like, where have you guys come from?
yeah, because the roads to go there's not that many to go out there, so they must come from, yeah, up those mad dog hills.
Around the top, over the cafe, yeah, to the carry on to Piha, crikey dicks. Although then, like I say, then they're real narrow too, so you've got to watch out for cars and stuff. But
yeah, they're all like one way at the moment. I was out at Piha yesterday. They're all like one way roads because of the floods. It's, yeah, gnarly airs going out.
So yeah, your run's got to be on PR, not Middleway, right?
Yeah, so it was going to be on Middleway, and the council didn't really work with us. I tried to explain what it's for and stuff, but there's currently one beach access, and it's like a real gnarly four-wheel drive access. Like, you need to like lower the pressure in your tires and everything just to get on. And in order for me to get my crew on and like swap every couple Ks, would have just been a logistical nightmare. Also, there's no signal out there. So we moved it to Piha, just flat, straight, but it's going to be heaps of laps, which is pretty boring, but that's all right. It's more accessible for everyone, which is cool.
Yes, and someone was telling me that the sand dune at Bethels like blew out. Is that right?
I haven't been out to Bethels. I've heard it, something happened, but yeah, it's like, honestly, like, you know how Aucklanders can dramatize things. This was like, so bad. Like, it's scary how, yeah, much it's affected little communities. Like, I was talking to the Waimauko, which is out near Middleway, the principal, and like, I think the three firefighters that passed were parents, and then I think like 60 or 70 of his kids were without like homes. Yeah, so it's not just an Aucklander. Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's just those cul-de-sacs just filled with water and you know, caravans, and then the second time around, people's temporary homes getting washed out of their driveways and stuff like that. You're just like, oh my god, that's relentless.
Yeah, it's like, when is it going to stop for these people? But yeah
no. So how do you sort of address that in a school thing? Like, what's the conversation like in the classroom? Do you just kind of go through the facts of it or what?
Yeah, I guess the kids aren't stupid, like, they know what's going on. We had a fake The other week there was like a real heavy storm again, and all the kids were like, the anxiety was high and whatnot. So I was like, just stay calm, just stay calm. And then the techs come through and they've got their phones. It's like, oh, you know, they're like, what's it called? The civil,
So emergency, yeah. Civil
not
defense.
the COVID one we used to get, but yeah, so that came through and then anxiety's high again. But yeah, I guess just be honest with them because they're not stupid.
Yeah. And did you just have a debrief as a school or as a class or what?
We had to have like staff meeting about the wording and whatnot we use for the kids. But let them know because no point lying to them about it.
Yeah, my daughter's over at Silverdale and they had an emergency training the other week and I was just like, oh, yeah, I guess that's something you've got to go through. It's not so simple as stop, drop, and roll
No.
anymore, you know?
Yeah. Lie down, head down.
Then, yeah, when Christchurch happened, everyone was doing the earthquake evacuation and earthquake. What do you do? The change it from get under the table to get beside the table and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is heavy topics. But yeah, it's an element of preparedness, isn't it?
Yeah, there's always like procedures to something.
Yeah. What age are you teaching?
The year 5, 6, so between years 9 and 11. But I've actually just literally like last week left my role there. I'll be leaving end of the term and I'll be doing health and PE in a secondary school. So
Nice. Yeah.
yeah.
So what did you do in terms of transitioning from building to teaching?
In the like in
Like
the
education wise.
so I was just obviously doing the building and then education wise, the uni and whatnot. Is that what you're meaning? Like went
Yeah.
through the stages. Yeah, so it was a 3-year course at the Auckland University. Studied there for 3 years and I was still building in the holidays and whatnot. And then yeah, straight into a school and have done like sports lead and whatnot there. And yeah, I think the health and PE as a secondary school is like something I've always wanted to kind of transition into or do like work with young athletes, and I guess high school is kind of that target. So I'm going in the right track. It's just, yeah, finding footsteps, I guess, to get there.
So you're going to be taking a class or you're going to be a facilitator?
I'll be taking a class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's going to be as part of NCA or just normal?
No, so they're transitioning me in just for this first like 6 months as just year 9 and 10, just to like learn the ropes again, because obviously I've gone from like teaching everything to one subject, but you got to be kind of expert in that subject. So yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So what are some things that you think are important for young athletes?
Big question. I think just like finding your niche through like doing all the core like movements, and I know you like this sort of stuff, like just like all the basic movements before you go into your like thing you want to really focus on, but then also not putting too much pressure. I feel like a lot of parents put a lot of pressure on kids and like force them into doing this sport, and then they like you see so many athletes burn out by the time they're 17, 18, and then they don't carry them on after high school. So like finding a way to yeah transition them in, I guess.
Yeah, I was the opposite. My parents had to tell me to slow the fuck down. Yeah, but then I was in swimming, and that was I've spoken about it a few times. That was the environment of there was national juniors, and so 8 years old, you're at a national championship, and you're like, oh, I don't know if it was good or bad or what, but yeah, it's definitely different. And so I burned out of swimming at 15, but I was definitely not burned out of sport and activity and competition. So yeah, it was a weird one, that was for sure. Yeah, but then with these sort of junior elite programs, and then what we've seen with cycling and stuff, cycling wrong, a few of those programs, it's kind of like, oh, how much of a push was that? And I was sort of saying to Simon Cochrane, like, now that we've got rid of these junior events in swimming and athletics, are we now going to see sort of people sticking at it into their 20s and 30s and actually have some real high caliber stuff, which would be fascinating. Yeah. But how do you, especially in high school, how do you keep people engaged and competitive, getting that grit about them without having a high level of competition? It's going to be something to navigate, eh?
It's like because obviously you've got to find the right balance, like you just said, there has to be competition in order for you to like progress and want to do, but I just, yeah, I don't know, the burnout. It just so many people burn out when they're like just finishing that high school age, eh, or going through, because there's so many distractions. Like when you're a teenage boy, there's the girls and there's parties and alcohol and like so many different things you want to focus on. And now it's even worse with like all the social media stuff, and those influences. But yeah, just like finding your way to stay focused, with support, but not having it forced. Yeah, there's just so many factors.
Yeah, I heard something the other day, and I don't know how receptive I would have been to it, but it was on the a Max Key, I guess he does, of course, a podcast, but the person he was interviewing was had that had a conversation for a while, and they told Max that like basically he needs to stop talking to women and like don't do that, don't engage with relationships and stuff. And I was sort of like, oh man, I wish someone had told me that, because exactly that. I was like, I wanted to be an athlete and I wanted to be an optometrist. And it's like, you need to focus on these two things. You need to focus on studying, education, sleeping, and then on the mental side of things, if you're exercising and focusing on sport, and then you'd be recovering. And they were just like, would have niched really well. But then I tried to, catch girls and things like that. And I don't know why, because I wasn't really ready for that. I wasn't, available for that, but I just had these ideas about, I don't know, relationships and love in my head, and just became a mess and a distraction and like depressive and upsetting. And I was like, oh, wonder if I could have, been ready to hear something like that at that age. And we PE's got like PE and health, and I was like, I wonder if that conversation in health has got to that sort of maturity level that, like, as a 16, 17-year-old, you're actually not mature enough to handle all the
Serious
stuff.
relationships, yeah.
Yeah, because actually, now on the other side of it at 35, realizing that like mature relationships actually take like emotional literacy, personal awareness, financial literacy, good grounding in what you're doing, and then being able to move forward together. And when you're still in a process of learning, process of understanding,
And like
process,
experimenting almost, eh?
yeah, then relationships as you see them in the movies and into the future don't really kind of fit that, like say, that experimentation phase.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like you need, and I wouldn't have done it any other way than what I have now, because I feel like by going through experiences where you learn as well. Like you do a lot of dumb shit, you'd hopefully not keep doing the dumb shit. So like you've got to actually maybe put your foot in the water, but and that's why only so little like go through to that level so quick. And it's the ones who understand that, I think, like you talked about, the not like pursuing those relationships so young and whatnot. But I mean, you tell your 16-year-old self that, they'll probably tell you to bugger off. I would, like if I told myself that at 16, I'd be like, no, I'm gonna do what I want. And I think, yeah, I don't know, me personally needed to learn through getting burnt. Yeah.
Hard out. Yeah, I remember it was my 17th birthday that my parents found out I was sexually active, and they sort of tried to tell me. It was only one conversation, but it was like, it complicates things. And they, of course they were right, but shit, do you think I could listen or understand that deeply enough to be like, I just actually shouldn't be partaking in this, because it's exactly that. It's too complicated.
Yeah, exactly. And you worry about reputation so much when you're like
Oh mate,
trying to be cool when it really doesn't matter for anything.
yeah. Well, the you know this that was probably part of the like whole like girlfriend thing at high school, isn't it? I'm going out with them. It's like, what are you going out and doing? Like,
Exactly. It's
you're
just
just
sound the part, or I don't
name
know. Was,
association.
yeah. High schoolers' brains should be like studied. They are probably, but it's just, yeah, you're on a completely different wavelength, eh? Another planet.
Oh, full of hormones, and then you like throw in substances as well, and like high, exactly like you were saying with the running stuff, like highs are so high and like lows are just like absolutely crushing.
And really, the things that you're worrying about are so minute, like, yeah.
But that's like your only experience so far. It's just madness, isn't it?
You literally don't know what you know, and yeah, at the time, it's nothing really, is it?
Yeah. So are you moving into a bit of a team with that then? Like you said, you're going to be going into the junior school and learning the ropes again a little bit. So
yeah, like the apprentice again, I guess. I haven't
read,
the interview was literally like last week and got the thing straight away. So yeah, I mean, there's still a process to that. So, but yeah, there'll be a team, obviously. I think there's like 10 people, so that'd be cool. And like quite a few younger, which is good as well. Good to have like a range of experiences, and like that energy is usually with your youth, like even the people in the, like, yeah, you're full of ideas and stuff, so it's just learning when to pull back and like what's realistic and what you can actually implement. But yeah, so that'll be cool. It's exciting.
And how have you found the profile side of things? Like you're going to be going to a school where probably more people have access to social media, you know, there's a high chance that you show up on their social media.
Yeah, I haven't actually thought about that, because kids, like, when they're 10, don't really have that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that'll work.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you being recognised currently?
No.
Yeah. What's the space?
I mean, like, the news things and like that, but I haven't done a big event for a while, so it's been good. Yeah. I don't really like that sort of stuff anyway. Like, I'm not big on social media and I don't really like that sort of thing anyway. But it's more just like using it to help people and use it as a positive platform. But yeah.
Nice. So what date's the 100K?
1st of July. It's the, I've like planned it perfectly that it's the first Saturday of the school holidays. So I can do that. And then I might work in the second weekend. I'll see, do some building. Just like for money, I guess. I'll see how my legs are.
Yeah. So how are the various ways that people can get involved with it?
Just message me on Instagram or email. It's in my Instagram link as well. If you could tag that in this would be good.
Absolutely.
Just Phil's Marathon on Instagram. But yeah. Just message me, and I've got like a crew sheet all sorted now and whatnot. So just more if you want to join in for a couple of laps and get a coffee and walk on Pihar Beach.
Yeah. And what do you have a goal of how much you want to fundraise?
I initially going in did, and then last time I did an event like this, I got too fixated on like the money and was I going to raise this much, and yada yada yada. And raising all the money is great, but it's more just I think raising the awareness for it. I mean, obviously I'd like to raise like 15 grand would be cool. I did 25 or something last time, and I haven't really pumped it as much this event. But hopefully 15 grand would be cool, especially with the circumstances at the moment and the community I'm in. A lot of them are struggling. So, yeah. But like I said earlier, if I raise $80, I've helped one kid, and that's still one kid helped than I helped before. So, yeah.
No, that's pretty awesome, Harrison. So your handle is still Phil's Marathon?
Yep.
Yeah. Easy peasy, so we'll put that in the show notes. So, Harry, I like to leave people with something that keeps you in flow. So it can be a mantra or a way you live your life or quote or just something that rings around in the back of your head to keep things going well, or it usually shows up when things are going well.
A mantra that I use when things are dark, or just that keeps things going well?
Yeah, it can be something that can turn things around for you. Or yeah.
Just like so cliche, when like things are going wrong, I think it's just like be happy to be here. Like I always think back to those dark times, like when my nana and cousin passed a month apart, and like they'd be so he was like a go-getter in life and whatnot, and he'd just love to be here. So like live for him, really. Like, yeah, do it to make him happy, because he would have loved to be here. So smile. He'd always say cheer up, buttercup. So yeah, pretty much that.
No, that's simple and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah,
awesome, man. Good luck with your ride, and absolutely good luck with this 100Ks. I definitely will have your links in the show notes, so if anybody listening, reach out to Harry and give him a hand, and if you're around Pihar, go for a few trots up and down the beach in the black sand. It'd be beautiful.
Sweet, and I look forward to a run maybe when you're up in Auckland and Kingsland on the 24th.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I think we're doing the opposite thing. We're going for lunch and things like that.
Nah,
we'll see how we go.
Sweet. All good. Well, cheers for having me on.